Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Yeah, here we are. Good evening. A wild one tonight at the K. An entertaining game, and really like a lot, if not all, of these five games on this homestand. Just an exciting night at Kauffman Stadium. Unfortunately, you know, the homestand as a whole didn't go the Royals' way, but if you paid money to walk into the K tonight, last night, during that three-game series with the Red Sox, man, you certainly got your money's worth. And if you're a Royals fan, boy, it's a nice dismount from this homestand, winning the finale with the Cardinals and securing the 2024 I-70 series with an 8-3 victory. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. So many different heroes in this one tonight. So many different turning points in this, the 65th win of the season for the boys in blue. Now, to me, the headliner tonight, the top story, the number one star for my hockey fans out there, Michael Wacha. I mean, there's no debate. For as tremendous as Lucas Erceg was picking up his first save as a member of the Kansas City Royals, now, there's a lot to touch on, but I must begin with Michael Wacha. My friends, it's no surprise that the two wins the Royals picked up on this homestand just so happened to come in the two games in which the Royals starting pitcher spun a quality start. Seven innings of two-run baseball from the 33-year-old right-hander, and if Wacha isn't the story from this one tonight, it's how sloppy his former team is. Now, I mentioned this was a wild one tonight. It was almost as if they were playing with a different baseball tonight, as if the baseball didn't, at any point, get rubbed up. It's slipping all over the place. Sure-handed fielders are unable to secure the ball. Listen, I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that the Cardinals gifted this one to the Royals. No, the Royals took this game. Michael Wacha led the way, certainly, but how about Kyle Isbell's hustle? How about the strength of Salvador Perez to take that fastball down and away and drive it to deep right center field at Kauffman Stadium? That, listen, people have made their comments over the past 24 hours about Salvi. Hey, did you see the video of him dapping up Shaquille O'Neal? Have you ever seen someone dwarf Salvi the way that the big Aristotle did last night? Well, Salvi reminded everyone that Shaq's gone. I'm the Diesel. I'm Superman around these parts. Salvi, 105 miles per hour, he goes to the opposite field for his 21st home run of the season. Royals win 8-3. The phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. From Michael Wacha's consistent professionalism, consistent execution, for as much, and deservedly so, for as much as you and I have lauded the All-Stars, Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans and the almost All-Star that was Brady Singer, case can be made that at least over the past month, Michael Wacha, okay, I understand what Brady Singer's done, all right, maybe, how about this? Michael Wacha hasn't allowed more than three earned runs in an outing in more than 3 months. Over his last 14 starts, this guy's one of the five best pitchers in baseball. ERA-wise, over the past 3 months, you know, it's Paul Skenes and Tarek Skubal and what, one, two other guys? Michael Wacha has won five of his last seven starts, and tonight he spun a gem, yes, with some help from some sloppy play from the Cardinals. Sloppy base running, sloppy defensive work, but you know what? That's where the Royals thrive. Now, that's something that we've talked a lot about on this show. Just about every single day when the Royals show up to the yard, they're going to have the better starting pitcher. They're going to have the better defense, and they're going to run the bases better than the opposition, and that was the case tonight. Royals walk away with an 8-3 victory thanks to Michael Wacha, the hustle of Kyle Isbell, the strength of Salvador Perez, and just the speed of Bobby Witt Jr. The foot speed of Bobby Witt Jr. and the bat speed of Bobby Witt Jr. He drives in three, drives in Kyle Isbell to put the boys on the board in the third, an RBI triple in the seventh, and for good measure, he drives in the eighth and final run for the boys with an RBI knock in the eighth inning. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Logan, who was one of the 36,000 in the building tonight. Logan, tell me about your night. Tell me about this 8-3 Royals win.
What up, Vern? Hey, great night at the ballpark. Man, I just feel like... Watching that game against the Red Sox, those two games we lost early on, I feel like it woke this team up.
All right, I'll let you listen to yourself on the radio, Logan. I appreciate it. I don't think the team needed to be woken up. Right, they just went 6-1 on a road trip. Now, if you go back and you look at those Red Sox games, Boston just outplayed them in those first two. Honestly, this entire homestand has just and listen, you know I'm rooting for the Royals. I don't like them losing a homestand. But these five games have been highly entertaining. The better team won all five games. Now, as I say that, yes, I believe the Royals are better than Boston. I think the Royals are better than St. Louis. But for those nine innings, the best team won. Boston deserved those first two. St. Louis deserved that one last night, and the boys take the finale in both. Royals now 12 games above 500. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Jake, who's out in Kansas. Jake, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I want to thank you for the education you've been giving us about the difference between high leverage and closers in the new age. But you know, we finally got to see Lucas in the ninth. I want to give credit to Bubic to get us to four outs away. I know it was rough, but like I was rooting for him to get that second out, and I think that second out was more important than anything else that happened in that inning. And you know, just a great win. You know, they did what they had to do. Fun stuff. So, and on base, Freddie. Can we call that? Is that a thing? Because every time he needs to get on base, he gets on. So thanks.
He's clutch. There's no doubt about it. And you know what? That might be selling him short. No, Freddie for me is just a straight-up good ball player. Since the start of May, Freddie has an OPS of 809. And league average is like 709. So Freddie for me for the past 3-plus months has been 100 points better than the average big leaguer, and he's a catcher. Freddie Fermin tonight, 1-for-3 with a walk. He tied the game up with a 2-out RBI single in the 6th inning. Freddie was ready for that, wasn't he? I mean, that was 97 on the black in, and Freddie ripped it to left field to drive in Paul DeJong and tie this game up at 2. Bottom of the 6th inning, it's a 2-2 game. End of the game, it's Royals 8, Cardinals 3. Royals get big late, putting up 4 in the 7th, 2 more in the 8th inning. As, yes, no doubt, you know, the sloppy play from the Cardinals defense set up that 4-run 7th inning. But a classic Michael Garcia fastball on the outside part of the plate. He shoots it to the opposite field. Man, we've been watching him do that since he really started to win us over last year. Bobby blast a cookie for an RBI triple, and then Salvi just too darn strong. A two-run blast to the opposite field, his 267th home run of his outstanding Hall of Fame career. Salvi's now just 50 home runs away from George Brett's franchise record. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's head out to Oklahoma City. Justin, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Vern, it's been a long time, man. I'm glad to be talking to you again. I haven't got to talk to you in a couple of months. I always try to call to talk to you, but I've been watching the Worlds. Tonight, I caught the game late in the fourth inning. I was watching some of the Chiefs preseason game. I said, oh, shit, I need to turn. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cuss. But
hopefully they caught that. Yeah, you know the rules, Justin, man. It's nice hearing from you, but we can't let it slide, man. We're going to the FM dial, boys. We need to clean it up here. Maybe you can get away with a few four-letter words on the AM dial, but coming up next Thursday, you're going to be hearing Royals baseball on 96.5 The Fan. And we can't let that slide. Clean it up. Royals win 8-3. They get back to a dozen games above 500. We go to Dylan in Kansas City. Dylan, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was here tonight. It was a great game. Walker pitched fantastic, but I think the MVP for the game's got to go to Tommy Pham. He was just terrible the whole night. Just absolutely garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm with the person that you're hanging out in the car with. Yeah. You want me to be honest with you, though?
Oh, yeah.
Where I do the show is where the players walk out, so you're not going to hear me test that dude just in case he walks by, because as he told the media a few weeks ago, he works out the way he does in the offseason so he can blank people up. I ain't trying to test Tommy Pham. What I'm going to do is say you hit the nail on the head, Dylan, and I appreciate the phone call.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was booting it all over out there. I was worried for the fans above the Royals dugout in right field. I was worried for the fans out there because I know there's one bro. And listen, I was a bro. I'm not knocking you bros. But I know there's a bro out there that after, you know, Pham booted the second or third or fourth ball that was hit to him, my word. But I know there was a buddy out there just chewing on Tommy Pham. And there was a part of me that worried that Pham would say, yeah, you know what, this game's over. We're not going to get to Lucas Ursegg. I'm going to go beat that dude's tail. I didn't see any commotion out there. I know my right field rowdies would have held it down, but I'll be honest, I was concerned that the frustration that I'm sure he was feeling, not only because of just an awful night defensively, but also a hitless night at the dish. Well, hitless until the ninth inning, hitless until the game was basically a wrap. And he just dribbled it to the pitcher. Ursegg tried to make like a Patrick Mahomes-esque play, was unable to do so. Okay, so there's the first submission for Tommy Pham to be the player of the game. To me, it's Michael Wacha. But Kyle Isbell's hustle and, again, Salvi's strength and the speed of Bobby Witt Jr. Must be recognized. And it wasn't just Tommy Pham that was booting the ball and playing subpar professional baseball out there. Arenado getting doubled off of first inning, or getting doubled off of first base in the fourth inning. I'm not saying I was worried about Michael Wacha, but to open up that fourth, it's 2-1 St. Louis. Wacha walks Arenado. I mean, he was ahead in the count, too. It was 1-2. Wacha was trying to put him away, but ends up walking him. And then Lars Nootbaar falls behind in the count, 1-2, and then he works a full count. And I'm sitting here going, bro, buddy, Wacha, back-to-back walks to open up the inning when the team's already down one. That is not a good recipe. But on that full count offering to Lars Nootbaar, he lines it to right field. I mean, it was a nice sliding catch from Garrett Hampson, but I didn't think it was jaw-dropping, and can you believe he caught it? Of course Nolan Arenado's trying to get to third. No, I mean, I thought Hampson had it the entire way, and then he doubles Arenado off for the second out. You know, St. Louis was threatening there, and they run into the second out. I mean, the first run of the game that the Royals scored. You know, Izzy's in scoring position because of, A, yes, his hustle, but also an errant and ill-advised throw by Cardinals catcher Wilson Contreras. So again, the Cardinals at times would open the door, but the Royals had to walk in, kick it in, execute, and take the game, and they did just that. 8-3, Royals come out on top, and again, they remain 3.5 games back of Cleveland in the American League Central. 913-586-7610, Reed was at Kauffman Stadium tonight as almost 37,000 showed up on this gorgeous Saturday. Reed, what stands out to you?
Hey, man, it was a great night tonight. I had my children and grandchildren with me. We had a fantastic game, fantastic evening. Weather was fit. Just couldn't have been better. But, man, what was the deal with the entry into the stadium beforehand? Couldn't get into the parking lots and then couldn't get into the stadium. You have any idea what was going on there?
Well, what time are we talking? No is the answer, but what time are we talking?
We got here at 5:30 and didn't get into our seats until 6:20.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm guessing. Yeah, I don't know if I should guess. You know, I'm guessing 37,000, and you know, I think Kauffman Stadium has seen that 3 times this year. Maybe they were understaffed. I don't. When I got here at what was that, 2 o'clock, they were already set up, ready for a big crowd. So to hear that it got that backed up is surprising. Unless you've been to a Chiefs game, and then not that surprising. Reed, I appreciate it. Maybe someone else out there listening has a better answer. I get here really early. Not because I have work to do. I just like being inside the ballpark and being able to walk around and eat as many free hot dogs as I want. 913-586-7610. John in Chanute. You're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Well, I've been eating some ballpark franks, you know, and sure. I am just so proud of the boys in blue, and I know that they'll do better than 89, you know, for the season. If they really can surprise you at times, so who knows what kind of surprises they've got in store.
No, I can't wait to find out, John. I'll tell you that right now. But like you said, yes, they are on pace.
Oh, my rooster, he's so happy, too. He's just dancing up and down. And that ain't a bad imitation of a rooster, is it?
It's not the best. Certainly not the worst, though.
Well, he hasn't got wound up yet. But the Royals...
Kind of nervous about the rooster, but all right. Yep. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And, you know, I've gotten 106.5 down here. Who knows? Maybe you'll get 96.5.
Well, let me tell you this, John. I appreciate it. And even if it doesn't come in on the radio, you know, you can use the Odyssey app. You can use your smart speaker. I mean, you could do that right now to listen to Royals games, so long as you're in the 610 Sports Radio listening area. So, yeah, again, the first game will be, what, next Friday against the Cincinnati Reds? The first game on crystal clear FM radio. Let's go, Kansas City. That's a big-time sports city right there. Sports on the FM dial with the Chiefs and the Royals and Mizzou and K-State all in one place. You're not going to be able to find it anywhere else other than 96.5 The Fan, and of course, the Odyssey app. Phone lines are open for you as the Royals take the finale against St. Louis and secure the I-70 series for the first time since 2016. Royals win 8-3. We'll get to your phone calls and head inside that clubhouse right after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Now a 1-1 pitch, swing and a high fly ball. Back goes Fan, still back, all the way back, gone! opposite field home run, and the Royals lead 6-2.
Ryan LaFever, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Salvi steps to the dish with Bobby on third and two outs in that seventh inning. Steps to the dish with Bobby on third and one out in that seventh inning. And Salvi does what he's been doing all season, and that is coming through with ducks on the pond. Salvi, with that home run, he's now hitting .369 this season with runners in scoring position. That's top five in baseball. Yeah, 6-2 after that two-run shot from Salvi. The Royals would go on to win 8-3 as they would tack two more on the board in the eighth. RBI triple from Izzy and an RBI single with two outs from Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby, by the way, now hitting .403 this season at Kauffman Stadium. Jake was at Kauffman Stadium tonight, and now Jake is on the postgame show. What's going on, Jake?
Hey, Vern. Yeah. Hey, what a night, man. Packed stadium. Big dogs ate. Salvi and Bobby. Just my other points, really, just to think about it. I really appreciated the hustle from Garrett Hampson out in right field. Just a absolute great defensive game.
His first start out there this year, too.
He looked really good out there. I really appreciated he seemed to really go after the ball, and I think it made a big difference tonight. And then also my guy, I think you know this because I've called in a few times, but Kyle Isbell, it was great to see him come through and back-to-back nights with triples. And he's a hustler too, so
it was
really fun. It was awesome.
No doubt. Jake, I'm glad you had a good time, man. And no doubt, Kyle Isbell, quite the 48 hours. Five for his last eight, four runs scored, a pair of runs driven in. He stole a base. Also set a new career high in walks and runs scored. And tonight picks up his second three-hit game of the year. 913-586-7610. Royals win 8-3. We go to Rick in Olathe. Rick, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, back again. I was feeling all of your pain last night, and you predicted that we needed to win this game, and I think the boys did. I don't know where you start patting people. I'm so proud of this team that did nothing last year, and they've turned it around. I guess you got to start with starting pitching, but the gentleman just talked about Isbell. He hit .225, but he plays defense. You know, this team is just kind of doing it, and really we got a lot of help out of the Minnesota series. You know, with Minnesota winning those first two and then losing, you know, we're making up ground on these people. And we get to go into Minnesota and do a little number on them. But you picked me up last night when we were all down with six relievers and all that kind of stuff. But this party ain't over. Right. We haven't even gotten to the dance yet. But I'm excited. I enjoy your show and your candor. And I'd like to be running around high-fiving all those boys tonight.
No, I'm with you, Rick. I'm with you, buddy. Thank you very much for the phone call. Royals, their 33rd comeback win of the season. A lot to be proud of. Obviously for the young men inside that clubhouse, but yeah, as a fan base, how can you not be proud of a team that leads Major League Baseball in comeback victories? Furthermore, how could you not be proud of a team that also has the ability to make the claim that nobody in baseball wins more at their house than we do? Tonight's 8-3 victory is the 38th win of the season here at Kauffman Stadium. Nobody in the sport has more wins at home than the Royals do. Plenty to be proud of when it comes to this team. Not only their heart and hustle, but also being young men of their word, right? They've been saying, hey, come out and support us. We'll give you everything we got. Certainly been doing that. My game notes following this, the 65th win of the season. Game notes brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know when called Jays Southland Tow. Royals, 12 games above 500, now 3.5 games back of the Cleveland Guardians, or they maintain their 3.5 game deficit in the division. Now, that run differential, I talk a lot about how they have the fourth best run differential in Major League Baseball and how, to me, that's a reflection of their run prevention. It's a reflection of their outstanding rotation, a rotation that ranks top three in baseball when it comes to ERA, when it comes to innings pitched, when it comes to quality starts. Outstanding run prevention when it comes to the mound. And then, of course, defensively, right? The finest defensive unit, arguably, in Major League Baseball. Bobby and Michael, Massey at short, Salvi and Freddie behind the dish, Kyle Isbell in center. You're going to be hard-pressed to find a better defense up the middle. And, well, that leads us in perfectly to the young man that's kind enough to dial us up after this Royals 8-3 victory. The previous few callers have been loving on him. He's Kyle Isbell, who tonight picked up his 7th triple of the season. He's top 5 in Major League Baseball. Boy, Kyle, thank you very much for the phone call. 36,000 turned out tonight. What was that atmosphere like?
Yeah, no, it was an amazing crowd. The energy in the stadium from pitch one was incredible. Seeing that many people out there is amazing. The energy they brought to the table was incredible.
Well, the hustle that you showcased really throughout your career, but really to get the boys started there in the third inning, a little dribbler in front of the plate, and you're busting your tail down the first baseline. We've had a lot of fans, a lot of those 37,000 call up to show their appreciation for your hustle. I'm wondering if you can speak on that and the pride that you take in it.
Yeah, it's just coming to the field every single day, every single time I can impact the game. Safer out. I'm going to give it 100% effort, of course. But the fans and the energy that they brought, I mean, that's the reason we play. We play for them, and it's just incredible to be out there every day.
Yeah, there was so much that stood out from your hustle, the Salvi strength, to Bobby's speed, and then, of course, Michael Wacha, 7 innings of 2-run baseball. This dude's been as good as they come over the past few months in all of Major League Baseball. What were you seeing from out there in center?
Yeah, I think, overall, it's just a great team win. Walker was keeping them off balance, as he does. I feel like every start, competitive in the zone, mixing up his pitches, and playing defense behind him. He's got a good pace, and it's fun to be out there with all the guys.
So you pick up a stolen base tonight, a pair of singles, and a triple. How many guys on this team do you think are faster than you? Bobby and Dyrone. Okay, Bobby and Dyrone, fine. Anybody else?
Hampson's pretty fast.
Okay.
I feel like we got a very athletic, fast group in general.
I agree. I mean, you're a Gold Glove caliber center fielder, and if you're saying you're third or fourth on the team, yeah, that speaks to why you guys are one of the best base-running teams, one of the best defensive teams in baseball. Kyle, I'm hoping you can speak to the impact and the pride that clubhouse takes, and, for as much as people in my position want to talk about home runs and strikeouts and RBI. Man, you guys play fundamental baseball as well as anybody in the game.
Yeah, I think it's really splitting up the two. When you're on offense, you're on offense. When you're base running, you're base running. When you're playing defense, you're playing defense. It's all different part of the game. You can impact the game every single night, and it's very important to separate it mentally and physically because obviously it's a different approach to all three of them. Once you hit and you get on base, and you become a base runner, you're aggressive, you're always trying to take an extra 90 feet, and then you're a defense, just the mindset of just don't hit it this way because you're going to be out. And that's just, I feel that energy throughout our clubhouse, and it just carries over to other people, and it's fun to be around.
How much are you enjoying, final thing for you, Kyle Isbell, kind enough to dial us up after this 8-3 win, how much are you enjoying your first dive into a playoff push?
Oh, it's been incredible. We just take it pitch by pitch every single day. We can't control stuff that other teams are doing, but we can control what we're doing in here, and we're going out there trying to win every single night and give it 100% effort. That's all we can do.
Well, nobody listening wants you guys to have an off day tomorrow. We want you guys back out there. But, man, I hope you enjoy it with the family. Lord knows you earned it tonight, Kyle. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
Yeah, you do the same, buddy. Kyle Isbell inside that Royals clubhouse, as the boys get back to 12 games above 500. 913-586-7610. I talk about the run prevention and the pride that this team takes in their defense, in their base running, in their outstanding starting pitching. This season, when the Royals hold the opposition to three runs or fewer, they're 52-6. I got to check out where that ranks among the rest of Major League Baseball. 52-6 when holding the opposition to three runs or fewer. That's impressive. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're next up on the postgame show. What's going on, buddy?
Nothing much, Vern. Just glad to be back on here. You know, great to see a Royals win. And I was kind of with that guy last night on the bullpen situation. I was just a little bit confused, but it's all good tonight. And I just have one more question. It's not about the game. So for the postgame show, are you still going to be doing that 6-10, or is it going to be on 96-5? I'll listen off there.
I got you, Garrett. Yeah, the pregame, the on-deck show, Steve Stewart, the game, and then the postgame show. It'll be on 96.5 The Fan and 610 Sports Radio. Almost every game will be simulcast on both. Now, every once in a while, it'll only be on one because, K-State will be over here. All I can tell you, I would imagine a lot of you already have 96.5 as your number one preset. I know I did. I honestly did. I love Church of Laszlo. So 98.9 The Rock now is where I find Church of Laszlo. So Royals win 8-3. And yes, starting next Thursday, 610 Sports Radio is going to be pumping through your speakers through crystal clear FM radio as we make the move to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Royals baseball, for Chiefs football, for Mizzou athletics, and for K-State athletics. It's your one-stop shop for Kansas City sports, starting up next week, right here on the Odyssey app, 610 Sports Radio, and 96.5 The Fan. If you're on hold, stay right there. We'll take our final quick timeout and get back to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Swing and a high fly ball center field. Back goes Nootbaar to the track at the wall, and it's off the top of the wall. Here's Garcia around third. Here's Junior right behind him, and he will slide in with an RBI triple. And the Royals lead 4-2 in the seventh inning.
Oh, my word. The great Ryan Lefevre, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. I don't know if there's many things in this game I enjoy watching more than Bobby Witt Jr. round second base. And that right arm serves almost as like a propeller that redirects him towards third base, because he hits that bag with such inertia that his body's carrying him out to left center field, but that right arm gets waving and he realigns that body. And man, is this dude something else to watch. He picks up his 11th triple of the season, second most in Major League Baseball. Yeah, RBI triple for Bobby Witt Jr. there in the seventh inning. Made it 7-2 Kansas City. Bobby would drive in another run in the eighth inning, making it 8-3 Kansas City. And that would be your final score. Royals take the finale from the Cardinals and win the 2024 I-70 series. Bobby Witt Jr. would drive in three runs tonight. He now has 87 RBI. That's fourth most in baseball. His 998 OPS is fourth best in baseball. And then everything else, he just leads baseball. 347 batting average is number one. Tonight was his 51st multi-hit game. That's number one. Tonight was his 118th game, period. He's played in every game, all 118. Nobody else in the sports played in as many games as Bobby Witt Jr. 100 runs. He's the first in the sport to reach 100 runs this season, and he's on pace to set a new single-season franchise record for runs scored. Bobby, tonight with those two hits, now has 164 base hits, most in the sport, 20 more than the next closest competitor. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has 144 base hits, and he has the second most, 20 back of Bobby Witt Jr. 913-586-7610. Boy, oh boy. Where's it going from here with this dude? 44 games to go, an MVP trophy, a postseason berth, and the ability to end the argument of who's the best player on the planet. Bobby Witt Jr. has 44 games to get a few more games to make that point. Get this dude to October, pair him up with Salvador Perez, and watch those two put on a show. Bobby's driven in 34 runs in his last 33 games. We'll get to the text line coming up in just a moment. Text line 913-586-7610. Again, 913-586-7610. Let's go to Dan and KCK. Dan, you're on the postgame show. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Josh. How you doing? Yeah, it was a great night for Bobby. 87 RBIs. He'll get to 100 RBIs, I think, before September of this pace, and on pace for 135 on RBIs. And great night for Walker, getting out with jams and help Carlos helping out with sloppy play. Let's get ready for this big business road trip that you're talking about. Three of the Twins, take care of them, and then three with the Reds, so let's sweep them. Take care of yourself, Josh.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you never know. Yeah, listen, I'm never going to ask for a three-game sweep on the road. Certainly not going into it. Win the first two games? Sure, yeah. Maybe we could talk about a sweep in Cincinnati. Well, we'll get to that Twin series coming up in just a moment. 913-586-7610. Hey, I wanted to mention, I focus on Bobby Witt Jr., the former top pick of the Royals back in 2019. Well, last month, the Royals once again picked in the top 10, and this year they select first baseman Jack Caglione out of the University of Florida. Tonight, Cags played in his, fourth game? Since being assigned to high-A Quad Cities. He had two hits in his first four games with the River Bandits. And tonight he only had one hit. No big deal. I mean, for his minor league career, Caglione's 3-for-16. Nothing really to write home about, right? Well, tonight he ran into his first home run as a professional. Take a listen to this from Quad Cities River Bandits Radio Network.
Another 3-2. He drives it high in the air, deep right center field. There's a gator in the river. Grand slam, Jack Caglione. It's his first professional homer, and he'll take it.
I mean, it was a laugher for the Quad Cities River Bandits. They won the game in, ridiculous fashion, 13-2, but whatever. Cags has that monkey off his back, and now it's time to eat. Congratulations to the young man. That's got to feel good. And to play in a cool ballpark like that where you can go into the drink. I guess it's going to make it difficult to fetch that ball, but nonetheless, it's quite the memory. All right, text line 913-586-7610. Let's run through these. Kathy in Los Angeles is letting us know that don't trifle with Tommy Pham. No, I agree. I know, Kathy. I don't think he's walked by my broadcast studio yet. But even if he did, that's fine. I'm Not saying anything bad about Tommy Pham. Nope. I got a wife at home. Nope. I ain't letting Tommy Pham take me away from her. No, thank you. 913-586-7610. Raj in the Ozarks says the Royals are 22 wins away from securing a playoff spot. Okay. Raj says the magic number is 87 wins. Okay. All right, Raj, I got you down. I'm still, yeah. I want the division, Raj. I ain't worried about just getting in, even though I know I should, because that's the goal. Just get in and anything can happen. I want a home game. I want a guaranteed game at Kauffman Stadium. I want the division title. Appreciate you listening, Raj. Let's go to Double J. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Double J, how you doing, buddy?
Vern, after beating the Cardinals tonight and winning the series from them for the first time since 2016, doing great. I was at the game last night. Had fun. I mean, unfortunately, we lost last night, but just awesome that we beat St. Louis and that we get to send St. Louis fans home crying tonight back to St. Louis. So yeah. Go Royals, and hey, let's get our suits and ties ready for this business trip against Minnesota and Cincinnati.
Well, here's the thing, Double J. We had the business trip. The business trip was Chicago and Detroit because there's no frills, there's no enjoying the city. You're there to do a job, beat up on the dregs of your division, and the Royals did just that. They handled Chicago all year. They won the season series from Detroit. They've taken 4 of 6 from Cleveland, and they'll hopefully get even with Minnesota next week. But I don't know if I can call a trip to Target Field a business trip. Now, I expect the Royals to take 2 of 3 because they have Singer, Lugo, and Reagan's on the hill. And the Royals are the better defensive team. They have the better base running ball club. And again, they have the better starting pitching. So, yes, I mean, I expect the Royals to take the series. And yes, I expect the Royals to take the series in Cincinnati as well. But I think they're going to have to play better. Yeah. I don't think your B-minus game beats Minnesota. Your B-minus game beat Chicago. I mean, Bobby just went, hang on. What's going on here? We're about to lose to the White Sox? Yeah, right over my dead body. Boom, boom, boom. Royals win. Now, Bobby's great. Yeah, I guess he could do it to Minnesota, too. I'm just remembering him hit that grand slam off of Yoan Duran last year. So, yeah, you know what? Maybe B-minus game would beat the Twins. So long as Bobby packs his cape. I guess it's possible. But personally, Double J, you do what you want, but I'm not treating it like a business trip. I'm not trying to look too far ahead. Normally, I would say a 3-3 road trip would be a victory. 4-2, man, that's a pretty tough ask. But you know what? It's the home stretch. And with that riptide now less than 2 weeks away, it'd be a pretty good idea to bank some wins before you have that stretch of 20 straight games against only playoff teams. Right? 20 games, 7 with Cleveland, 4 in Houston, 3 against the Twins, Phillies, and it wraps up with 3 in the Bronx against the Yankees. That, my friends, in my opinion, will dictate if the Royals are going to win the division or not. I also think that that stretch is powerful enough to drag the boys under and drown their postseason hopes. I don't believe that it will, but the Riptide has the power to do just that. Gabe in Independence writes in on the text line. He's loving on Kyle Isbell. Ken from Leavenworth is happy with Matt Quatrero's handling of Lucas Ursig tonight. Ursig picks up his first save as a Royal, comes in and finishes up the job left by Chris Bubich, two on and two out. A six-pitch battle with Paul Goldschmidt and Urseg, who again sits 98, 99 miles per hour with his fastball, breaks off a slider down and in on the black to the right-handed hitting Paul Goldschmidt, and he can't touch it. And then Urseg comes out and finds himself in a little bit of trouble there in the ninth inning, but he finds a way out of it. He secures the save, and now, while donning royal blue, Urseg has thrown six and a third innings, eight strikeouts, no runs, no walks, only three base runners total. Ken, I appreciate you listening. Batman is excited that the Royals are closing in on the Guardians. Yeah, we all are. Elliot from Des Moines writes in, Vern, team perseverance and grit got this W tonight. Ramifications of bad defense were on full display in the other dugouts. Safe travels back home, Elliot. Appreciate you listening. Yeah, no doubt. The Royals outplayed St. Louis. Offensively, on the mound. Defensively, on the base pass. Now, the Royals weren't perfect. They were better than St. Louis. And again, that was, to me, the theme of this homestand. Five highly entertaining games. And in all five, the better team won. The better team that night won. Maybe that sounds obvious. Like, duh, yeah, that's how sports work, Vern. The team that wins was better. Nah. I wish, if you are saying that, I wish you would have helped me out on the past few postgame shows. And those losses to Boston in the first two and that loss last night, there weren't many people giving credit to the opposition. It was, fire this dude, get rid of this dude, send this dude down. Boston earned those wins. St. Louis earned that win last night. And the Royals, thankfully, were able to salvage one in each series. Scott in Phoenix writes in, on the text line. More about Lucas Urseg. And yeah, not having Hunter Harvey does indeed change the equation moving forward. If you missed it, Hunter Harvey placed on the IL today with lower back issues. So that's unfortunate. Hopefully, best case scenario, he's back at the beginning of the Riptide. When that three-game series starts in 2 weeks against the Philadelphia Phillies, hopefully, Hunter Harvey's back. That, to me, is best-case scenario. Rally Mantis is once again chanting MVP on the text line. I know it seems difficult to do, but if you just text it over and over and over again, I see it, Rally Mantis. I appreciate you listening. All right, so the Royals now take tomorrow off and will head to beautiful Minneapolis. I mean, it's beautiful right now. Minneapolis, Chicago, Milwaukee right now, man, it's tough to find a... I mean, honestly, it feels like how it's felt here the past few days, just with water. So I'm sure they'll have a great time. Especially when they see, oh, Brady Singer's pitching on Monday and then Seth Lugo on Tuesday and Cole Reagan's on Wednesday. Yes, please. Hey, I want to thank Quentin Morris for his help back at the studio. Great job as always. Thanks to Kyle Isbell for calling up. Thanks to you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday, Kansas City. I'll talk to you Monday beginning at 5:30 on 610 Sports Radio. Take care. Enjoy your night.